I've missed you guys. You know, one Sunday makes such a big difference when you love your spiritual family. Last Sunday, we were in Texas, the southest part you can get. I mean, Brownsville, Texas. And we visited a church, but it just made us miss you guys even more. Hallelujah. Well, but I'm back, and we're back, and we're ready to speak the word of God to you. Let's open our Bibles today, and this is a part three of my series on heaven that I started New Year's night. And can you open to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 and 4? Is it possible to see heaven while you're alive? What is heaven going to be like? Because a lot of us, and partly when I wasn't really sure about it, I had doubts because I thought it could be boring. Singing forever, it's kind of, iffy. Although I always had a fascination, there's been years in my life where I didn't know what heaven was all about. Okay? And but Bible says that God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. So if you wanted to know more about heaven, God can reveal it to you while you're still alive on this earth. Because you kind of want to know where you're going, right? Not that hell is any better, like you have an option, you know, or anything like that. But you know, we all dream of heaven. Sometimes when life gets tough, we want to, you know, kind of go there. We want to kind of start over. We want to have a life full of joy and peace and just total inner peace. You know, we're all long for it. And so, heaven is amazing. Heaven is amazing. And Bible talks a lot about heaven. It says, the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard. It didn't even come to the mind of a person what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Okay? While Paul, Apostle Paul, how many of you know of Paul, was alive on this earth, he had an experience about heaven. And in 2 Corinthians, he started kind of boasting about it. He said, I don't want to boast, but you're making me boast. And so listen to what he wrote. Verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Verse 4, how he was caught up to the paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Okay, so Paul is talking about himself, obviously, there. And he said 14 years ago, and if you study the Bible, about that time, Paul was stoned to death. Do you remember the story when Paul was preaching the gospel? And they got really mad in one of the cities, and they dragged him outside of the city, and they stoned him to death. Because they said he was a heretic. He was a crazy lunatic who was teaching people something that they shouldn't even know about. We suspect that that's when he was lifted up, when he died, because they thought he died. They just left him, that's it, he was dead. And we have a suspicion that he was lifted to the third heaven. Now, what third heaven is, but we know that he was in paradise. So there's different levels of heaven, but Paul talks about it in the gospel. And he saw and heard things. He said, it would be illegal for me to tell you. So obviously, God does reveal people what heaven is like. Now, personally, I've been studying and reading all the books I could about heaven. And a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5, I don't know, somewhere starting that time, God has started showing me experiences about heaven. Now, I don't want to freak you out, okay? Because some of you think I'm crazy or something. But no, what I could describe it as is that my imagination would light up as I would be praying or thinking about the Word of God, you know, sometimes you read the Word of God, and my imagination would light up. And I would begin to see things in my imagination almost like I was imagining it. Okay? So, because Bible says that our eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It didn't even come to the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. So I'm not claiming to say that I've seen heaven. But I do believe that God has revealed by His Spirit few things to people who seek Him. And I don't know why He did it to me, but I'm glad He did. Okay, I'm not more spiritual than you. No, I'm not saying that. It's just sometimes God will show you in a dream. I've heard people seeing paradise in a dream. I heard some of you say it. I had a dream and I saw this beautiful place and it looked like a paradise. And so God will, from time to time, reveal to you, especially when you're going through something, to encourage you that you would persevere. Because life gets hard. And sometimes you want to give up. But God sometimes just gives you these glimpses of hope that light up your imagination or gives you a dream that just totally encourages you and gives you more juice to keep living for Jesus. And so one picture that He showed me was I saw a symphony in heaven. And in that symphony was like a million or more people. There was like, they had instruments, not harps. Although I don't doubt there was harps, but I saw violins and I saw cellos and I saw trumpets and things like that, you know. And so, and they were all getting ready to play. And I saw a huge, humongous, in my spirit, in my imagination, I saw a humongous grand piano. Black. I mean, it was standing, it looked like black, but it was standing just, it was long. I mean, I was like, wow, it's beautiful. And so that piano was really attractive to me in my imagination. I was like, I wish I could play that piano. I wish I could play. But I felt in my spirit that I was unworthy. I was like, how can you play when there's Mozart, if he's there? You know, if there's all these people who are able to, you know, play the piano beautifully. And you were lazy here on earth. You are not worthy to play this piano. That's how I felt. And what it produced in me, I'm like, okay, before I die, I want to learn more piano. So if I get to heaven, maybe I could play one song in the symphony of heaven for the glory of God. And then I heard the sound, and the sound was not here. The sound was in here. In my imagination, I heard a loud sound as they started to play. It was so loud. I felt if I heard it here, my ears would go, my brain would just explode. That's how loud it was. Imagine so many people playing. Just remember, the body that you will have in heaven will not be a body that's like here. Like your ears will not be limited. You know how our ears are limited? Dogs even have better hearing than we do. Amen? Is that true? So we're limited. Scientists tell us that we use only part of our brain. You know, just percentage of our brain. Imagine using the whole thing. I mean, wow, you can do things. Okay, and so, and that's what I would see. Then also, last time I told you that I saw that there is entertainment in heaven. And there is football games. And yes, and maybe you can play in the game. Because I said this, Earth didn't come up with anything new. Earth is only a shadow of things to come. And so I saw a huge stadium. It was round like this, and it was going as far as I could see. And people were sitting in it. And I saw God sitting in a VIP spot. It wasn't covered like, you know, with glass here. It was just VIP spot. I didn't see Him, but I knew He was there. And I almost saw Him in the spirit laughing. And as the players would make these crazy tumbles, you know, like when they hit each other and they fall over. And the craziest ones with flips and everything, you know. God would be laughing in the throne. And these players would be not getting glory for themselves, but they would be saying glory to God. And they would almost, I don't know if I saw it, but I saw it, that they were pointing to God and saying, God, You're awesome. And people were clapping for the players, but they weren't so much giving glory to the players. They were giving glory to God who created the players and give Him that ability. And it was fun and everybody was enjoying themselves. And there was lots of people wearing different type of clothing. I mean, and it was bright. There was no roof. It was bright. It was like the white brightness. You know, there's yellow brightness and there's white brightness. And it was amazing. I didn't want to play football because I'm really not into football. But I really wanted to play
the piano in the symphony. I really wanted to play there. And so, and there's a few more glimpses here and there God would show me about heaven. Heaven is an amazing place. Heaven is not just a place where we sit on a cloud and play a harp and be bored. Heaven is a place of complete joy, complete peace, complete relationship, complete transparency and purity. Heaven is beautiful. Tanya and I, and the kids, this last time we went to Brownsville Zoo in Texas, when we were in Texas last week. And we went to the zoo, and there were so many beautiful animals there. There was zebras, there was giraffes, there was lions, and he was roaring. When we came to him, he started roaring. I was like, okay, great. And Tanya was like, is that how they roar? I'm like, yeah, that's how they roar. And as we were walking around, there was these cute monkeys and little monkeys, you know, these little monkeys with big tails. And there was birds. And one bird we came to, it was a parrot. And we said, hello. And he said, hello. We came to him and he was talking. He said, hi. Not like that, like, hi. Hello, hi, like that. And he was speaking. Then there was a big bird, the parrot. And he was red, you know, one of those big parrots. And he started coming. He was like a jealous one, controlling one. So as soon as we would go to him on this side of the cage, it was a big cage. He would come and like, he wanted the attention. For some reason, I had a fascination. I wanted to talk to the animals. Do you ever go to the zoo and you're talking to the animals? Like, hi, hi, hey. Yeah, we talk to our dog, right? And our dog is almost like, we have a German Shepherd, and he's like, you know, cats are kind of like, whatever. But dogs are so in love with you. They want to talk to you almost. And in heaven, guys, there will be animals, all kinds of animals. See, earth is only a shadow of things to come. And imagine this, on earth you have a dog, but there's not much you can have a relationship with because you love him, but he doesn't talk to you. Imagine if your dog talked to you and had a conversation and tell you how much he loved you, right? In heaven, there will be animals who will talk to you. We know there's horses in heaven. We know because Jesus is riding on a horse. So if they have horses, why not have other animals? Help me out. Yeah, so heaven is full of animals, and animals that are extinct here on earth. Animals that, lions and everything else, and you can come and actually have a pet of a tiger, Siberian tiger or something, or white tiger. I mean, and he doesn't smell, you know, really bad. Because in heaven you eat and you breathe it out. You don't just, it doesn't digest or anything. No bathrooms in heaven, hallelujah. Yeah, and so heaven is a beautiful place. Plus, how many relationships we can have in heaven. How many prophets of old that you want to come and I want to come and talk to. How many people in history that you can go and visit. Eternity is not enough to be in heaven because it's amazing. Your father Abraham is the first person you will meet when you get into paradise because it's his bosom. Yeah, heaven is amazing, guys. Heaven is beautiful. Heaven has vehicles. How do I know? I'll prove it to you. Do you remember Elijah? How was he taken to heaven? What kind of chariot? Say it. The chariot of fire and clouds picked him up and took him to heaven. Where's that chariot come from? Guys, there is vehicles in heaven. But some of you are like, well, won't we have a body that we can disappear and appear in different places like Jesus? You could, but guess what? I hate flying an airplane. I love driving to Texas or Florida or anywhere because I love the nature. I love the scenery. Yeah, I could, in heaven you could probably disappear in one place and appear in the next place thousands of miles away because heaven is humongous. It's not just a little city. There's cities in heaven because Jesus said, servant who was faithful will rule over 10 cities, 5 cities, and so on. So there are cities in heaven. People, what do you put those billions of people who go there? Over all the years. Over before Jesus and after Jesus. Plus, where do you put those billions of angels? Where do they live? Have you thought about that? They have a place of adobe, Jude says. So heaven is humongous. I don't know what you imagined about heaven. The little place, you know, where everybody just... You know, no, heaven is without end because we serve a God who is eternal, who has no beginning, no end. He's humongous. Guys, heaven is a place we want to go, but not yet. Amen? Heaven is an amazing place, but we don't want to go there yet. And today, I want to talk to you about five kingdoms of heaven. Okay? Because Bible says this, in Revelation 22:12, it says this, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward," say reward, say it again, "is with me to give to every man according to his works." Jesus says, gives John this revelation, says, "I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give each one according to his works. Now, we don't need works to be saved. How many of you know that? Actually, God does not accept any works for you to be saved. But after you have been saved, he does expect you to do good works. Amen. Amen. So if you are a Christian and your tree is not producing any fruit, Jesus said that tree will be cut down and burned up. So as a Christian, you all have been given at the point of your salvation a mustard seed of faith. And that mustard seed is not supposed to stay a mustard seed. It's supposed to grow and become a huge tree and produce fruit. What kind of fruit? Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and on. Amen. So God wants us to be fruitful Christians. Another scripture says that faith without works is dead. So meaning that faith is non-existent. Now, demons have some sort of faith, but it does not produce work, meaning they're dead. They're dead inside of them. Their spirit is dead. It's not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Now, the first place, five kingdoms of heaven today, and I want to get through them. The first place in heaven that every person goes to is called paradise. Now, who goes to paradise? Because everything I just described to you is paradise only. Heaven has many levels, just like heaven has many rewards. Okay? Remember, Jesus said this, "Behold, I'm coming quickly to give to every man according to his works." Okay? And so Bible teaches us that every man will receive according to his works. Not faith, not love, not anything else, but according to his works. And love is work. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So it is work. Now, who goes to the first place in heaven? Paradise. Do you remember a thief on the cross? He was a criminal worthy of death. He was crucified together with Jesus, and one of the thieves were really was cursing God and cursing Jesus and hating everybody who was crucifying him. He was not a repentant criminal, but another criminal said, "Jesus, remember me." There was repentance in him. I don't know, maybe he was talking to Jesus on the cross. I don't know. Because he was talking to the other guy, that's for sure. And Jesus said to him something. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You remember the story of Lazarus and a rich man? When Lazarus died, and then a rich man died later. And Lazarus was in paradise with Abraham, and Richmond was in hell burning, and hell is so horrific. He wanted one drop of water. There's no water there. For eternity, I'm not even going to go there, guys. That's why we have to do everything possible that while we're yet alive, to do everything possible to bring people closer to God. All right? So paradise is the first place that everybody will enter. That's the gate into heaven. You will enter through those gates. I will enter. If you're a believer, if you put your trust in Jesus, you will enter through the gates of paradise. That's the place. Hallelujah. Now, who else will be in paradise? In paradise will be people who had trusted Jesus with their life but didn't do anything for Jesus. These are the people who gave their life to Jesus. They believed in him. But really, they didn't live for him. They lived for themselves, for their own pleasure. on this earth. And really, these people didn't use their gifts because they were always busy living for, okay, living for the weekend. Amen? Now, weekend is important because it's a day of rest, but it shouldn't take away from the kingdom of God. Amen? And a lot of people, they say, well, I bought this boat, or like the other guy said, I got a camel, so I can't come. I got a land. Remember that parable that Jesus spoke about? He says, I bought land, so I can't come to your feast, wedding feast. And another says, I got married, so I can't come. You know, sometimes we have this thing that people get married, and then they'll come to church for like a year. So they get problems. And then they come, and like, we need counseling. I'm like, yeah, we do counseling every Sunday. 12:30 to 1, you know? we all get counseling here. Amen. Holy Spirit is a counselor. Wonderful counselor. Amen. And He speaks to us. It's not my lips you came to hear. You came to hear from Him, from His Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So these people receive what's called a shameful salvation. It's like a thief on a cross. He didn't have time to change. He didn't have time to do any good works. He was saved though. In heaven, you'll see people you didn't think were saved. Those are the people who were shot, and while they were laying, and they maybe in their spirit even prayed and said, God, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. You know, or maybe they were drowning and they said, save me. In the last moment of their life, and glory to God for being merciful. He says, when they cry, save me, Lord. And He says, okay, I will. And He reaches out. And instead of letting him go down to the place they don't want to go, He lifts him up and says, you're mine. But these people go to the first kingdom called paradise. Paradise is 100 times whatever the best things we have on earth. But it's not the best place in heaven. There is more glorious places in heaven than paradise. So paradise is the first kingdom, and it's the biggest. It's an outskirts of heaven. It's beautiful. And people who go there receive salvation, but their clothes reflect. In heaven, your clothes will reflect your spirit, your faith. Not there, but here. If you lived for Jesus here, your clothes will be bright. Isaiah 61:10. Can I read it to you? Isaiah 61:10. I believe it's talking about heaven. Let me see. It says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Okay? So garments of salvation is just the basic white, beautiful. It's still beautiful. It shines a little bit. But it's just the basic clothing in heaven. Those are for the people who didn't do much for Jesus. Bible says, you know, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Reach people for Jesus. They kind of didn't do that. But they still were believers. And God is merciful. And He had mercy on them, and they were there. And I, as I said, when I imagine those guys, I see these people in paradise are the most rowdiest, most loudest, joyful, praiseful people in heaven. Why? Because these people did not, they know they don't deserve to be there. They didn't do anything for Jesus. It was by grace that all of us are saved. But notice, God doesn't take you right away as soon as you get saved. You don't go to heaven as soon as you get saved. No, He wants you to live for Him in this life. So these people were so, if you can almost see them in your imagination in paradise, they yell, they shout, they are the most rowdiest bunch in heaven because they, you know, he who has been forgiven much, loves much, they have been forgiven much. Like all of us. They have been forgiven much, and they love God so much. And they are so happy to be there. And they tell you that I don't deserve to be here. But God is so merciful. And look at me. Look at me. I don't deserve this place. And remember, in heaven, there is no jealousy or pride or anything like that. So people who have higher glory, reward, are not proud because people don't have a lower reward. We're all the same. We all saved by the grace of God. Amen. But these guys are really happy. Their clothes is white And let's finish reading this so I can come back to this. Garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. There's a difference between a garment and a robe. There's a difference what a king wears and what a servant wears. Now, they're not servants, although everybody in heaven is a servant. Because what do? You serve one another. You bring each other joy and pleasure and you just, yeah. So in here, do you remember there's a scripture that says we will be priests and made us kings and priests unto God? How many of you know that scripture? So there's a difference in heaven. And Paul says in one of the scriptures, he says, be careful, actually Revelation says that, be careful that you do not lose your crown. So in heaven there will be crowns, and every person will have their own reward. Not everybody, it's not like our church will have one reward. No, each one in this church will have his own or her own reward. So in paradise, people have basic white clothing, clean, beautiful, pure. They're joyful. They love Jesus. They see him all the time. But that's the lowest place in heaven. Okay? Barely saved. Other people who will go to that place is people who believed in God. But when trials came, they gave him up. First they believed and they were on fire for God. Some pastors will be there. Because they taught people what was not in the scripture. Matthew 5:19 says, if you want to write it down, I'll show it to you what it says about false teachers and those who didn't teach well. 5:19. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these least commandments and teaches man so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So notice, in the kingdom of heaven, there is levels. You know how the Bible says your faith will grow from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from grace to grace to grace to grace. So what you do in this world does matter of the reward you will receive in heaven. A lot of us don't think about that. But it has to do, guys, with superpowers that you will have in heaven. Yeah, some people will have less abilities than others. It will matter what you get, what you do here on earth, and what you will get in heaven. So that's the first place, is the paradise. Are you getting this? Now, if I make it to paradise, I'm happy. Trust me. But God has better places. I'm not saying that that paradise is nothing. No, if I make it there, glory to God. Paul says, I'm very careful that though I'm preaching to others, I myself would be found unworthy. So he says, I self-discipline my body. I fast. I do these things. I pray because, oh yes, I've done great things for Jesus. But guess what? At the end of my life, I might be unworthy. So I'm careful about that. So if you've been a Christian for a long time, be careful that you don't say that, well, I'll make it to paradise for sure. Live your life to the fullest. To him who knows to do good but does not do it is said. Sin. Sin. To him who knows to do good but does not do it, sin. Amen. The second kingdom in and let me show you how this kind of looks. And this is just my imagination. So if paradise were a circle, this would be the paradise part. Now, then we're going to the second. And in this place, people go to that place are those who wanted, who were saved and wanted to do something. They wanted to change their life, okay? So, wanted. What does it profit somebody, brethren? If a person says, I have faith, but I have no works. These are the people on the first level of faith. And first level of faith is this. You come and become saved, right? You don't automatically change in one moment. How many of you know that? You are in the beginning stages of your faith. Your faith is like a mustard seed that's deposited. And then you start hearing the word of God. You come to services, and God is teaching you and teaching you various things, and you understand that I have to change now. Now, religion will tell you, you have to change. We don't do that in your life. We don't want to judge you. We want God to tell you to change. Now, if you ask us, of course, we'll tell you. But really, if you read the Bible, it will tell you too. But really, it has to come from the inside. I just don't like that about myself, and I want to change. Maybe you live in a lifestyle that you know it's not biblical, but you just don't think it's a sin. That means you're still over here. But now that you decided, oh, my lifestyle is not good, and I want to change. So they wanted to change. How many of you seem Christians like that? Okay, how many of you been that kind of Christian? You wanted to change, but you couldn't. There are some things, people, that you want to change from. You might never, till the day you die, completely be delivered from. It's true. Now it gets easier. One of those things is I heard this from homosexuals who wanted to change. They just said, I was born that way. I have, like when guys have a desire for a girl, right? Imagine having it for another guy and you can't help it. Just as strong as you have it for a girl. And they will struggle with that thought for the rest of their life, maybe. Some things you fight in your life, and it's just your nature. How many of you know that there's some people who were born with good genes? Not like genes, but like good DNA. They're nice. Oh, sometimes I'm envy of those people. They're just gentle. They love. They're loving. They could talk to you, and they're humble. And I'm like, man, God, why did I get genes like I did? You know, some of us were not so lucky, amen? Some of us get angry and we explode. Some of us, you know, some of us are not nice. Some of us are proud and we have to fight with pride all of our life. Some are just naturally gentle. Right? Now, people in here are not those who had bad genes and fought with all their strength. Are not those who struggle with homosexuality but fought with all their strength. They don't go here. These are the people who took it kind of for granted. They're like, yeah, I want to change. I want the blessing of God. But really, I don't want to give it all. I don't want to discipline myself. I really, when opportunity arose for me to sin, I would sin. And then repent later and then try again. So these people would try to change. But when opportunity came for sin, that's the first level of faith. They wanted to change, but really, they never really pursued it to the end. How many of you have been there? Until you get so sick of it and say, I want to change. Amen. We've all been there. We want to change. So that's the second level and second kingdom. And that's closer to New Jerusalem and the throne of God. Now, throne of God is not that small. It's just my drawing to you. Like that. Now, in the Bible, it says, Jesus says this, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. Now, how different are these people? When people in paradise don't have their personal houses, they're barely saved. They're like Adam and Eve who were put on this earth. God didn't build them a house. How many of you know that? But in heaven, the temperature is perfect, and your body can adapt and you can never freeze your fingers when you're in the mountains of heaven. Because you have a spiritual body, it's real. You can touch it, but yet it's spiritual. So you cannot freeze. You can lay on the grass and the grass will hug you. And you could sleep with your tiger or your lion or whatever. And you'd be like, you know. Yeah. So in paradise, people don't so much have houses. They live more in communities and maybe like apartment complex. Okay. But in second kingdom, people get different type of clothes, it shines brighter. Because they actually tried. They actually lived for Jesus a little bit. They had some good works. But, so they get a brighter clothes than people in the first kingdom. Okay? They might have certain rewards. Maybe this person didn't really change, they wanted to change, but they brought a few people to Jesus. And Bible says that when you bring people to Jesus, that's your crown. Okay? And maybe their crown is not of gold and jewels and all kinds of great, you know, brilliance and shiny. Maybe it's a leaf crown. Maybe it's a small crown. But they are different in reward than these people. Amen? Make sense? Their spiritual abilities are greater, but they're not as great as people who live totally for Jesus. Amen. Now the third kingdom is people who lived but was not entirely faithful. Now 1 Corinthians 9:25 says this, and everyone who competes for a prize is self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So Paul says, the third kingdom or the level of heaven that's closer to the New Jerusalem and the God's throne are the people who competed, who already did something. Let me explain to you simply. These are the people who said, I am not getting drunk, but man, I want to. I'm not stealing, but boy, I want to take it. Sometimes I do and just put it back. These are the people who have outward change. You know how some people, we call them hypocrites because we can almost see through them, right? I don't do that, brother, but oh, I want to. I don't watch porn, but oh, I want to. When I go through channels and I see something that I shouldn't see, I go forward and I go back and quickly skip it, you know, and maybe that's the heart that says, I've changed. There is enough of power of God to change me, but it wasn't out of love. It wasn't really complete change. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever fought with a sin and God just totally delivered you from and you have no desire for it anymore? God can do that. Now, I'm not talking about people who have a natural disbalance in some way, and they fight for the rest of their life, like I've already mentioned. Okay, people in the third kingdom were the ones who competed already. Some of you, and you can judge where you are here, but some of you are competing. You are living for Jesus. Bible says, kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You are already taking it by force. You're changing. You want to change. You're not just making excuses and saying, well, if I fall, I fall. Well, you know, you're not the one who easily gives in into sin. Yeah, if sin was a rope and it was pulling you into a pit, you fight. You dig in your heels. You know what I mean? You are the person who really fights against sin. You declare war against it. Maybe your heart is not completely changed, but at least you're trying and you want to be changed. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So people in the third kingdom of heaven, they competed, but they kind of made their own rules. Have you ever seen a Christian who makes his own rules? Like, you're like, where do you get that out of the Bible? And they're like, well, that's what I believe. Okay, don't judge me. You know, and so they competed, but not according to the word of God. God gives us rules how we compete for a crown. What do we compete for? A crown. If you've been a Christian for a while and you lost your purpose, what do we compete for? Our purpose is a crown. And how do we get it? If you've been saved for a while, it is your your calling from God to save others. Amen. And so when you see your relatives, friends who are not saved, you want to do everything possible to get them closer to God. They did the word of God, but they didn't do it out of love. They worked for God, but they didn't have full joy in their hearts. Those are the people in the third kingdom. Not entirely faithful. They were faithful. They came to worship practice, but they wanted to be so bad in a club. You know what I'm saying? They came to a night prayer, but man, their heart was on a racetrack or watching a football game. They were in church, but they were checking their score. They were listening to pastor, yeah, but they were just into football, they probably had a little TV by them, you know, just, you know, watching the game. Or they were listening to a radio, you know, on a little earpiece. Amen. So those people, they served in church, but they secretly were murmuring. They gave, but man, they weren't giving from a pure heart. They served, but oh, they hated those people they served. I mean, they loved, they didn't hate, because Bible says don't hate, right? Hate sin only. But they didn't really love. They're just like, I'm indifferent to you. Just get out of my face type people. You know what I mean? And they get to the third kingdom, and they didn't, because they didn't do it out of the whole heart. Matthew 5, verse 11 says this: "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So he says, when they persecute you, be glad and happy. But when they were persecuting you on a third level, you were like, oh man, Jesus, why am I struggling so much? You know, why is everything so bad? Some of you already see yourself here on the third. And that means we have to grow. Amen. They have a brighter clothing. They have a crown of sorts. They have maybe a few ordinances. You know how soldiers who are decorated, army soldiers who did great things in war. Remember, fight the good fight of faith. So all, if you're a Christian, Bible says fight the good fight. So we're soldiers, Bible calls us. We fight. And so as we fight, those little things, why doesn't God want to just remove all problems out of your life? Why? Because He wants you to be decorated warrior. Maybe you'll have a prayer medal. Maybe you have praise medal. Maybe you have some stars. If just follow me, you know. Maybe you have a crown that's glorious, that has beautiful diamonds in it. And notice, in heaven there's no pride. And that's not why you're given the crown. It's just God wants to reward people according to what they have done. And so these people have their own houses, the third level. And they have their own swimming pools. And maybe, I can't explain it even, what they have. But they're closer to the throne of God. They're shining brighter. Amen? Their clothes is brighter. Their medals. There's crowns. So whatever you do for Jesus, that's what I want. My job is not to say, to put you down. But my job is to say, there's more. Reach for a higher calling in Christ Jesus. Yeah, you will fail. I fail. We all fail. But listen, it's not only for this that we fight for. Because remember, when you live for Jesus, you receive earthly blessings as well. How many of you ever asked God for earthly blessings? Yeah, we all want to be blessed here on earth as well. So as you grow here, it doesn't mean that you just live for Jesus and you're miserable and nothing happens good to you. And no, your life becomes better. Your life becomes more richer here on earth. Amen. So if you are believing God, if you're a faith person and you're saying, God, I believe you for this and this and this, God is saying, yes, hallelujah. Now, fight. Go through levels of faith. Have your faith be greater. Not just the childlike faith, but, you know, that it grows. Amen. So these people are, they shine brighter. They have better abilities. They probably have even angels that serve them. Because in paradise, angels could help you. But whatever you can imagine, it's a greater level. Because all I'm saying is my imagination. Just a few scriptures here and there to prove that I'm on the right track, right? So it's not a theology that I'm preaching. I'm just showing you why you should fight for heaven. Why you should live for Jesus mightily here on earth. And the fourth kingdom in heaven is the people lived by the Spirit. This is what the Bible says. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For after he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Revelation says this, do not fear any of these things that you might have to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw you into prison for a few days, so you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. These are people who were faithful for Jesus. They weren't afraid to sacrifice. They weren't afraid to give of their finances. They were even not afraid to go in prison for Jesus, not denying Him. They were not afraid to even give up their life. So a lot of people who were martyred for Jesus, like most of apostles except John, were martyred for Jesus. So they will be in this place. Remember, there's a special place in heaven for those who were martyred, who were killed for the name of Jesus. Jesus said this, those who win the lost, those who bring many to righteousness will shine like the sun forever and ever. So these are the people who brought many to righteousness. They fought the fight. They finished the race, and God has promised them a crown of righteousness. Oh, how I want to be there. These people's houses are mentioned. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. Now, it's not only people who, in physical world, like Billy Graham, who did win millions of souls for Jesus, who go into the fourth kingdom. It could be a mother who never was on TV, who was not known in the church, but she raised children, godly children. And whatever God assigned to you, you know, God gives us different callings. Only a percentage will be on TV, right? The rest of us, we're somewhere, you know, in the middle there. We do what we can. We serve in our local church. We give. We go to mission local or overseas or different countries. These were the people who, whatever God had for them, they did. They weren't the people who wanted to live somebody else's calling. These are the people who were faithful to what God had for them. You don't have to have a glorious calling to be somebody in the kingdom. And even the worst thing is, Jesus said, if you have received your reward in this world, you will not have that reward in heaven. So if some people were so famous and they let it go to their head, you might see somebody who you thought should be over here. And you might see somebody who thought should be here, in the fourth kingdom, living in a mansion. That's where prophets will live. Great is your reward in heaven. So were the prophets, their reward is in heaven. There's streets of prophets. If you today are not lazy, if you wanted to go on the internet, YouTube, and search Jesse Duplantis heaven, there's four parts. He talks about heaven. Please look at it. Jesse Duplantis heaven. And he had an experience. And watch, it fits kind of what I'm saying, some parts. Okay? And the last, and so these people have mentions, they have abilities and so on and on. Now, and there's a fifth kingdom, it's called New Jerusalem, city of New Jerusalem. And these were the people who completely resembled the heart of God. Thessalonians, and this is my last scripture and I'm done. 5:23. Now may God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. So these were the people who were sanctified completely on this earth, who gave their life. Maybe they were martyred. You know, it's not easy to be a martyr. It takes special faith to be a martyr. When somebody puts a gun at you and says, deny Christ or you die. And the fear comes over you. And a lot of people, you know, they gave up. Their houses are castles. They have crowns of gold and jewels. God gives them desires of their heart. They see the face of God. They serve Him as judges and juries. They see Him create new things. They can read freely from the library of God. They surround God at all His banquets. They will teach people of different parts of heaven, kingdoms of heaven, new knowledge, new mysteries. They're the people who are always close to the Father. They know His heart. They resemble His heart. They shine as bright as the sun forever and ever. Their glory echoes for eternity. Now, there is no pride. But when the person from First Kingdom, Paradise, sees this person, they bow. They sit on the thrones and judge. There's 24 thrones in front of God. They judge people somehow. They help God do His work. They shine bright, like Jesus shines bright. And they're always around Him. Because in this earth, they want to be close to Him. And in that life, they will be close to Him for eternity. They will surround Him. They will be His entourage. Now, these people will see Jesus. Yeah, they see God. Yeah. But guess what? These people will be around Him all the time. That's the core. That's the core right here. That's the people who lived selflessly. They lived for eternity. They had a good life here. Don't get me wrong. Abraham had a good life here, but he didn't care about the riches. He didn't care about the material things. His focus was on the kingdom of God. Now today, my question is, where are you in this place? Or maybe you're not even in the first place. Maybe you still need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're just coming here and all you have to do, Bible says, is confess and start living. That's it. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here. You want to change, but as soon as the party comes and everybody is doing something they shouldn't be doing, you're like, okay, I'll repent on Sunday, but Saturday night I'm just going to do it. You know, it just feels so good. Come on. You know, maybe you're here and God is saying to you, hey, come on, you can go step higher. Or maybe you're here in the third kingdom. You're faithful. You're doing it already. But your heart is not there. Come on, you're so close. Go up here. Live by the Spirit. Or maybe you want to be completely faithful. And you love Him so much. And this is probably a lifetime thing right here. It's not like, we all start. We don't start here. We start here. And then we grow from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for your time.